Emperor Tales of the Frozen South by CWB and read by Ghost of Nuggets Past. Chapter 17. Porta. Foreigner. John and Sherlock stand near the front of the assembly, waiting for the hui to begin. Sherlock's neck is sore from snogging John senseless, and John is leaning heavily on Sherlock, flank to flank, a blissed-out expression on his face.
How long do we have to stay at this meeting? I'm exhausted. I want to go to the crush.
John lets out a huge, drawn-out yawn and closes his eyes.
It's just two announcements, John, but they're big ones, so it may take a while.
Sherlock had told John most of what he knew, except for a few crucial details that he'd held back as a surprise. He looks forward to John's reaction, even though right now it looks like the Pang might fall asleep. Sigurd trumpets the call for order, and one by one, the Council Pangs behind him fall in line and repeat the call. The assembled emperors fall quiet, and Sigurd begins.
Welcome, everyone. We thank you for your patience as the Council has worked to clarify and resolve important affairs. As you know, the events upon our arrival at Cassiopeia necessitated that we base ourselves here longer than usual. The process of vetting a new Council Pang and nursing our wounded were time-intensive endeavors. Under other circumstances, we would have stayed here for a few days at most, and then dispersed into the sea for other destinations. The Council believes that we are now ready to proceed. That said, not all of us will continue the journey at this time. Some will remain here on Cassiopeia for the duration of the summer and rejoin the colony at Podeba during the migration. Unusual as this may be, we believe it will have far-reaching long-term benefits for the colony. Now, to further explain, I invite Elder Erebus to step forward and explain the reasons behind this decision and who exactly it affects. Erebus moves forward to stand beside Sigurd, and the two of them confer for a moment. Then Sigurd rejoins the other Council Pangs. Sherlock notices that there are still only six of them. Is the seventh here? He must be. He must be waiting for his name to be announced before he steps forward. Still, he can't help but look around, scanning the crowd for any clues. Next to him, John curls and uncurls the tip of his left wing.
Don't worry, John. I'm not worried. Your wing is worried. My wing is an idiot.
They look at each other and laugh, and Sherlock cannot resist the urge to bump his head against John's sleek neck. The colony's collective fidgeting stops when Erebus turns to face the gathering. When he speaks, his voice is steady and clear, loud, but kind.
Podeba Colony, my heart, my home. Despite our losses, we are healing well, both in body and spirit. This has always been our way, to let the animus of the greater good mend our individual pain and sorrow. I am proud of you, all of you, for pulling together the way you have. Of course, we cannot prevail on goodwill and hope alone. There are always ways upon which we can improve our methods, and the Council has spent the last half moon on Cassiopeia evaluating exactly that. We have a plan, an exciting new plan which weaves the traditions of our past with current-day knowledge. The most senior elders among us may recall a time when the colony supported a youth panel of sorts, a junior council to mirror our ruling council. That group of young Pangs was intended to apprentice to our leaders, to conduct research and continue the work of their elders when the time came. Circumstance intervened, and the original junior council was disbanded before it could prove its worth. It has been a long time since the council revisited the possibility of a new junior council. But after much reflection, we find ourselves blessed with the convergence of opportunity, talent, and motivation.
Sherlock thinks he'd be able to hear a herringbone drop, if the wind weren't working so hard to drown out everything but its own invisible roar. Erebus raises his voice against it.
You are aware that each council paying supports an important functional element of Emperor society. Healing, hunting, storytelling, planning, peacekeeping, teaching. They all help define the way we live. More than that, they define the way we survive. The junior council will work under the tutelage of the Podeba Council, with young Penglings assigned to 6 of the 7 council pings. Siga, our leader, shall remain independent and oversee both councils. In addition, we have assigned one of our most highly respected elders to watch over the juveniles while their parents continue their summer hunt. I know you would agree that your children would be well cared for under her careful eye. Elder Huddy, please come forward.
Sherlock can see the crowd to the right of him jostle in part as a short, plump female waddles and tuts her way to the front. He only knows her from a distance, but he has heard that Huddy never had hatchlings of her own, choosing not to court again after her first mate was implicated in a prohibited Fugu tetradoxin smuggling ring. Huddy joins Erebus at the front and waves to the colony, the majority of whom trill and wave back.
I am very pleased to inform you that the Council has selected some of our very best young minds to support our plans. These are the penguins that will stay behind on Cassiopeia to begin their training. Now, without further ado, I announce the 2nd Podeba Junior Council. Assigned to Mycroft in support of his important work on colony relations and planning, Anthea of Kahu and Aria. Please do come forward as I call your name.
Selected to work with me, applying his theories on mesoscale eddies and polar currents to the way we hunt and forage, I am thrilled to name Sherlock of Siga and Olive. Next to him, John stands straight up and goes rigid.
That's you, Sherlock. Erebus just named you to the Junior Council.
I know, John Ling, I know.
But you'll be here all summer. You didn't tell me you'd have to stay.
John is hissing under his breath, trying not to be heard by those around him. Behind him, someone is pushing Sherlock, telling him to go forward to join Erebus at the front.
John, it's okay, I promise.
But we'll be separated again.
No, please, just wait. Listen to Erebus. Please, John, it's going to be all right.
The crowd jostles Sherlock ahead, but he continues to look back over his shoulder at a very agitated John. He wishes Erebus had called him at the end of the announcement instead of at the beginning. There's nothing to be done now but wait. He joins Erebus, Huddy, Mycroft, and Anthea, and the roll call continues. Erebus calls a female named Irina to apprentice with their teacher, Pavo, and then another female, Janine, as Vela's student in Emperor mythology and storytelling. Sherlock watches the colony as Erebus speaks. He can see so much from this slight elevation above the rest. The crowd is keenly attentive, aware that the potential for change stands among them, but not sure what that change might be, or if they will welcome it. He brings his eye back to John and startles. John is not there. John is moving away, pushing through the pack toward the back.
Oh, John, no!
Sherlock nudges Erebus and points his bill at John's retreating back. Erebus takes the cue and redirects, his voice booming overhead.
It is with great pride that I announce what might prove to be the most important addition to the Junior Council, and therefore to the colony at large. Would John of Kaya and Hemi, Mulling of Mariana and Ari, and Stampyod of Rhea and Nico, please come forward. The three of you have been selected, based on your heroic work at Cetus's side, to apprentice with our esteemed healer.
Sherlock holds his breath. His only point of focus is John, who, until hearing his name, had continued to push through and leave. Now John stops, goes still, as the Pengs surrounding him reach out to offer congratulations.
Turn around, John.
Two others, having correctly read the situation, move in John's direction. Malling and Stamford join him where he stands, back still turned. Stamford ruffles John's feathers in teasing camaraderie, and Malling leans in close and whispers in his ear. Sherlock realizes he is still holding his breath and about to pass out. As one, they turn, two of them grinning, one trying his hardest not to, and make their way to the front. Sherlock follows their progression, and by the time John reaches him, he's not sure if he's going to be clobbered or kissed. John utters out of the side of his bill,
"You should have told me I'm going to kill you."
Sherlock smiles with half his face, still looking forward, and answers,
"What? You're going to kiss me?"
John steps on his foot, hard.
"If we could have your attention for just another moment, we're almost finished for the evening. There's one more member to be assigned to the Junior Council, one who will work closely with our newest Council Peng, who has been selected to take over the role of peacekeeper in the wake of Lyra's most tragic death. If Lestra of Wiremu and Anahera would come forward, and then we'll introduce our newest Council Peng."
A small shout of cheer goes up as Lestra pushes his way to the front, and when he arrives, he taps wings with the others as he makes his way to the end of the line. Sherlock isn't exactly sure what is expected of him in this regard, but he holds his wing out, imitating John, and lets Lestra smack it as he passes. It appears to be some odd gesture of congratulations. They are all present now, eight of the previous winter's hatchlings, brought together by virtue of their talents and interests to serve the colony alongside their leaders. Erebus stands behind them and extends his wings wide, as if to frame them.
"Emperors of Podeba Island, I give you your new junior council."
Joyful honking fills the air around them, and Sherlock's eyes are filled with a blur of black, orange, and white exuberance. On both sides, his peers are beaming at each other, caught up in the excitement of the moment. Although honored, he is overwhelmed by the attention and moves to take a step back behind John.
"Where do you think you're going, Xiaoping?" "Off of center stage is possible. Stay right here with me. You'll be okay."
John lays his wing over Sherlock's shoulders and pulls him close.
"So you're not mad at me for not sharing all the details?"
"I'm not mad, Pingit. You nearly gave me a heart attack, though, and I haven't learned how to treat those yet."
Sherlock smiles and snuggles as close as he can, focusing on John instead of the jubilant pangs in front of him. Alleviates some of that urge to flee. He closes his eyes and breathes in the warmth of John and the chill of the air. He lets himself be anchored. The noises around him subside, and he fancies that all he can hear is the wind and John's heartbeat in tandem with his. It's a moment short-lived, and then his father's voice is bringing him back, reminding him that the Hui is not over. He opens his eyes. Seeger has positioned himself in front of the Junior Council and waits for the colony to fall into silence. Calm restored, he bows in recognition and begins.
"Junior Council, I thank you for your enthusiasm, and I look forward to working with each and every one of you. We have important work to do, and each of you can make an important contribution. Now, without delay, I would like to present our newest Council Peng."
Seeker's introduction is short and to the point, altogether lacking in endorsement. Sherlock listens to his father cover events on a timeline. Hatched on Podeba, moved with family to the shelf at 8 winters old, then reunited with the colony this past migration after both parents had passed. There is nothing in his speech to measure, nothing to be considered in favor of or against the new Council Peng. Nothing stands out. But then Seeger calls the Emperor by name, and everything stands out.
"Moringa," his father says.
It takes Sherlock half a blink to realize Moringa is a female's name. Moringa is not a he, so in a way, none of their assumptions were correct. On the other wing, Moringa is not a pufferfish or a walrus, but is she really one of them? Maybe some of the rumors weren't far from the truth after all. Moringa sweeps in, glides to Sigrid's side and smiles out at her colony.
"Dearest friends," she calls, her voice like ice on ice, "it is so very, very good to be home where I belong."
She turns, and for the space of a heartbeat, Sherlock thinks she's about to direct her frozen gaze right at him. But instead, she looks pointedly above his head and winks.
"It was only a matter of time, I suppose," Erebus sighs.
Notes. Fugu is the Japanese word for a poisonous pufferfish and the sashimi dish prepared with that fish. Tetrodotoxin is found in the liver and is 1,200 times more potent than cyanide. Read more about it here on Wikipedia for the entry on Fugu. Moringa is a real Maori name and one that sounded just right to me for this character. Aria, Kaya, Mariana, and Ria are all Maori girl names. Niko, Ari, Hemi, and Kahu are all Maori boy names. Hadi is Arabic and means chooses the right path. I thought it was perfect for Mrs. Hudson, who has been sadly absent until now.